I'm starting to learn to pray like Jesus. I'm trying to learn how to pray like Jesus. Jesus went straight to the point. Father, thank you. Let's go to work. I'm trying to learn how to pray like him. You know, we have not long drawn out prayers sometimes. And we think that's going to make it more deep. But God heard your first sentence. So I'm just praying straight to the point. Ephesians 4. And we're going to take a couple of scriptures tonight and talk about a few things about who we are as the church. Who we are as the church and then what the church is as a whole. Ephesians 4, and we've been reading that over and over again. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. One body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, and this is where I'm going to stop. We're going to stick right here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. I want to jump up to verse 16 because it jumped out to me when I saw it. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And I like this next part. By that which every joint supplies. So that means the compactedness of the church, or the sturdiness of the church, or the building, or the edifiedness of the church, is going to be coming by what we all supply as the church. I like it, like how it says, it's compacted by that. By that. All right, and we're going to find out what that is in a minute too. But by that which every joint supplies. And then it goes on to explain, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The effectual working, the effectual working. Work. Everybody say work. We see that in the Bible. We see work a lot in the Bible. The effectual working. So a lot like the scripture. We're going to jump to verse 17. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that. Everybody say by that. All right, what is that? By that which every joint supplied. According to the effectual working. According to. You got to look at these words. It's fitly joined together by that according to. Y'all see that? Y'all can underline those two things. Underline those two things. Y'all highlight them. Might be highlighted in your Bible already, but just highlight it again. By that and according to. By that and according to. Just by that and according to. So it says, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that, whichever joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Then it says, what happens? It maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself. How? How does it edify itself? In love. So now by that, according to, by that, according to, by that, according to. And this is good preaching. By that, that's how you preach. When you study, you start meditating the word, you break it down. Don't read over these scriptures because you know them so much, because there's so much more in there. Now, I'll be honest to you. I was going to verse 17 and was going a whole other direction. Went back to 16 and the Holy Ghost started showing me by that, according to. He's trying to show you what is by that. It's by the effectual working. It's by that whichever joint supply, but it's by that according to the effectual what? The effectual working. Everybody say effectual working. So the effectual, not just working. See, it's very important to pay attention to those words. He didn't say by the working. No, he said by the effectual working. That means your working is effective. Well, now's another question. This is a way to now find out what God is talking about. What is effective work? As far as the church is concerned, what's effective work? Is it coming, serving as an usher? Is it singing in a praise scene? I'm not saying that's not effective, but that's not the full effect when he's talking about it. He didn't say it. If he just talking about ushering and singing, he just said it. By the effective singing of the choir, by the effective ushering of the ushers, right? By the effective preaching. No, he didn't say that. He said by the effectual working in the measure of every part. What's the measure of every part? Now you go back up to the scripture. You got to read everything in context. You go back up. He said he gave gifts unto men. He gave everybody something. Everybody got a part. Everybody got a piece. Everybody got something. So it's now it's going to be by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of the measure in every part. You see that? Let me go back up. Let me read this for a second. All right, because verse 7, go back to verse 7. But read it. Ready, read. Verse 7, go to verse 7. Ready, read. How many? How many of us? I start over. Read it again. Ready, read. So unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Well, what is that measure? Okay, but all of us got that measure. Unto every, how many one of us? Every one of us. Not just some of us. Now, and it even goes on later on to talk about he gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers. But he said unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see what I'm saying? Every one of us. So now we go back to the measure. Everybody say measure. Back to 16, now, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that, say by that, which every joint supplied according to, say according to, the effectual working in the measure of every part. So that means the effectual working in that measure that you've been given. You being effective in the measure. The measure, we've been given grace by the measure of the gift of Christ, right? That's verse 7. Given grace by the measure of the gift of Christ. But you being effective in that measure. You being effective in that measure of grace. You being effective in that measure of the gift of grace by Christ. You being effective in that measure. And that make it increase of the body. Edifying itself how? In love. So that means we cannot edify if it's outside of love. There is no other building. There is no other growth. There is no other increase of the body without being edified in love. And the measure. Now one of the things, one of the most powerful things about grace is the love element. On love hangs all of it. We're going to read that scripture in a minute. Hangs everything. So the effectual working, the measure. So what measure is this then? What is the effectual working? What is this? The measure of it. What are we talking about? What does that mean as the church is concerned, but then as the church is concerned? How do I be effective? Because there's no increase. You want to increase the body mean? You really don't know what increase of the body mean? That means the body just gets bigger. Increase. What? Increase your pocketbook, what happened? Increase your money, what happened? There's more money than you had before, right? You increase your gas in your car. What is it? More gas than you had before. You increase the body, what happened? There's more body than there was before. That means you're adding to the church daily. Let's talk about that in Acts. That the people are becoming added to the church. Not added to Word of Life Christian Center, not added to World Shakers, not added to just a member of the church. It's talking about the church as a whole, the church of Christ. That means becoming a child of God, realizing who you are and who Christ is as your Lord and Savior and inviting him to be your Lord and Savior. Now that's increase of the body. The body of Christ has become increased. Y'all see that? All right, so now I want to read it again. The effect, and our faith comes by hearing him. I want to repeat over, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. It's by what every joint supplies. Nah. So if ain't no compactedness there, then that means there's some supply that ain't supposed to be there. I mean, something that's being supplied that shouldn't be there. It's supposed to be glue, but you're giving water. It's supposed to be something strong, supposed to be cement, but you're giving air. You're compacted by whatever joint supply, according to the effectual working of the measure in every part. All right? make an increase of the body. Make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17 is perfect. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Did it say Gentile? I used to think it said Gentile. No, it says other Gentile. In the vanity of their minds. Everybody say vanity of your mind. Come on, say vanity of your mind. Now, vanity, what does the word vanity mean? The root word of vanity is vain. What does it mean to be vain? You think it's about you. You want what you want. You want to get what you want to get. You want to believe God so that you can have what you want to have. You praise the Lord because you want God to come through what he wants. The first words that come out of your mouth when you're praying, oh God, what you going to do for me? Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But what about edifying of itself, the edifying of itself in love? What about this? What about the measure of the part of grace? What about the working of that? This does not work. If there's something in your life that's not working, then we go personal life and then we go ministry. But if there's something in your life that's not working and you didn't talk to God about it, maybe God is trying to get it to you another way. You ever thought that God was trying to use somebody else to get that to you? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sow it, that shall also reap. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest is going to be here. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. So you ever believe that maybe what you've been believing for, looking for, God needs you to go through another person to get it done? God has set this thing up. This is powerful. God has set this thing up. That's why it's not the My Father prayer, it's the Our Father prayer. They say, Father, Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray out this manner, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Everybody say in earth. Come on, y'all know we talk about the revelation. In earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me, in earth, I want whatever your kingdom, however heaven, however your kingdom, I want it to be in here. Like so thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know we know the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. That's powerful. But if we go to the kingdom of heaven, that's another thing. The kingdom of heaven, well, how is the kingdom of heaven? We heard the stories about heaven. How is heaven? No crying, no pain, is all love. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Let's go back. No, he said, Our Father. I tried to pray a different. I told you that before. I tried to pray the prayer different. I thought I was deep. You know, I'll make a person. It's my Father. My Father, how to be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I was saying on earth at that time. Give me this day my daily bread. And forgive me my debts as I forgive my debtors. Lead me not into temptation. Right? But he didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. He said, Our Father which art in heaven. Our. Everybody say our. There's a power in our. There's a power in our. There's a power. See, God set this thing up where you needed me and I needed you. God set this thing up where you could not live this life as a renegade. Even Jesus being the Messiah, the walking around body of God, even he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. So right, we're going to go in Matthew 5 in a minute. Right when he get baptized, he started looking for people to come with him because he knew that he couldn't do it by himself. That's why he got a disciple. Jesus wasn't a renegade. Anytime you see somebody as a renegade, they're out of order. They're out of the will because that ain't even how Jesus functioned. There's a power in the hour. God set this thing up where you needed me and I needed you and we all needed each other to become, to function as the body of Christ. Can the eye say I don't need the ear? Can your leg say don't need the hand? No, 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 no. Everybody got to play their part. Everybody got to play their part. Now, you may not understand their part. You may not function their part like it. You may not really get it. But, hey, you may not know how the ear work. But if you know how to see, do your part. All right, come on, do your part. Come on, say it to yourself. I got to do my part. All right, so now God has said this thing is a power in the hour. So now in the vanity of your mind, it cannot do, don't walk as other Gentiles. Now you got to realize Paul is preaching to a set of people that were born again like us. They weren't Jews. At the time, the Jews were the children of Israel. They believed that they literally had God's blood running through their veins. Well, Jesus dies on the cross, raised again, makes a blood covenant. Now we all have a right to be in the presence of God and have the kingdom of God on the inside of us, have access to the Holy Ghost, and can be everything that Jesus was. So now we in the family. But don't walk as other, because you're still considered a Gentile. You wasn't a Jew, you was a Gentile. Right? See, Gentile wasn't a Gentile wasn't a sinner. Like we equate, I did some study on that. We equated to Gentiles and Christians. No, it wasn't like that. Like if you wasn't a Jew, you was a Gentile. If you wasn't of the bloodline of the children of Israel, you were a Gentile. Whether you did the right thing or not, you were a Gentile. Whether you were a good person or not, you were a Gentile. So don't walk as the other, and he wasn't being degrading when he said that, but don't walk as the other Gentiles do in the vanity of their minds, in the vanity of their minds, in the vanity of their minds, just thinking about themselves. There's another group of people. He just started talking about that at the beginning. They have to be trained out of this while they're young. A couple of scripts over, he said, don't be children no more. Toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Children are inherently selfish. Right? Anybody got children here? They're inherent. When they're young, this is my toy. Sometimes they don't want to get a juice up. If they really, really like it, we're not sharing. You have to teach them to share. You'll teach them to share when it's coming up. And so then, I want his mind, mind. I want in the vanity of children, he's talking about children. Then he's talking about vanity of your mind. Don't be like the Gentile, vanity of your mind. You just want what you want when you want it. You just want it how you want it. You want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. The vanity of your mind. You cannot walk and be effective and effective, do effective work in the measure of the part. You cannot edify yourself in love with vanity of the mind. It can't happen. Vanity and love can't be in the same place. Vanity and love can't function in the same members. And it says, verse 18 starts describing them, having their understanding darkened. Y'all see that? It's talking about these people that are vain, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through what? Through the what? Come on, verse 18. Come on now. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the what? Ignorance. What's the root word of ignorance? Ignore. So, you know, you're ignorant. No. People get upset about that, but no, it's not that you didn't know, but you had a chance to be taught, you just ignored it. Ignorance. So you ignore this. Now, there's a lot of people. Now, this is describe a lot of the members. Your church, my church, everybody's church. This is describe this verse 17, 18, and I think verse 19 start describing a lot of the members. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. You see that? Verse 19, who being past have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ, which means your understanding cannot be darkened. You cannot walk according to what you want to have. You cannot be ignorant. You cannot be ignorant. I learned something about the word. Let me teach you something about the word. I heard an apostle preach yesterday, and if you're ever going to minister to somebody, just remember this. You never be afraid of he told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. In the Old Testament, God told him, see, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of their looks and their scowls. You say, well, thus said the Lord, and that's all that matters. You only have to do what the Lord told you to say. Remember this, because sometimes I realize that sometimes you preach to people, when the word get really good, I heard this in church, an apostle, you know, we got a few amen corners in our church. I know where they at. They just say amen for everything. They say, I'm about to run outside. Amen, amen. Look at your hair. Amen. Like they don't listen, all right? And so, but yesterday I heard him preaching, and people like to get excited, and you know, a lot of people come to church to get excited. They come to church for their happy fix, and they don't really come to church to get grilled. They don't come to church to get broken down so they can get built back up. Bible talk about to tear down and to destroy and to root up, then to plant and to build. It's in the Bible. They don't come for that. They don't. A lot of people don't come for that, and so when that starts coming, the church get quiet. The amen corner, you don't hear them no more. All you hear is a bunch of crickets, and they get real quiet. He said something yesterday. He said, you can't be doing this for yourself. Quiet like this in church. Nobody said amen. A few people say amen, but it's like, I thought I was here for me. He said, you manifest a minister. It's the only reason you, If you manifest, it's for the minister. If you ain't ready to minister, you won't manifest. Uh-oh. Because of what that word will do, it'll jack you up and hold you against the wall. And you got one or two things to do. You either pay attention, receive it, let it kill you, so you can rebirth, reborn, resurrect, or you can fight it and ignore it. Ignorance. Everybody say ignorance. You can fight it and ignore it. So you can leave out of there like you wasn't told. You know, there's another scripture says, to him who don't know and do it, he's going to get his lashes. But him who knows better and still does what he shouldn't, going to get many lashes. To whom much is given? I understand this. So now, but people want to ignore. They want to ignore because if I don't ignore, that means I understand, I paid attention to, and now that demands me to do something different. So just side note, whenever you preach, don't be worried about nobody's face. Just preach the word of God. And a lot of times they quiet. Listen, the best church to have is a quiet church. A lot of people need a lot of noise to feel good. Vanity of their minds. A lot of preachers, a lot of churches, and a lot of pastors, and a lot of evangelists, and different ones, they do a lot of different things out of the vanity of their mind because they are so concerned with how they're going to end up looking at the end of the day. They do it for that. That's why you got the hooping preachers. They just preach all the time and hooping and never preach the word. That's why you got these people that are all the gimmicks in the church. They do all the gimmicks and they tell little stories on the screen because they're people pleasers. They want to. Now they don't understand that the people will be pleased if they give them what thus said the Lord. So there's different sets of people. I don't know why I'm going over here, but there's different sets of people. You know, there's leaders and then there's followers, right? But then there's a whole other set of people. It's not just black and white. You either a leader or you a follower. No. Because they got renegades. And there's rebels. You find out what kind of person you got when that word start coming. Because a true person that really wants to know about God and really wants to know the precepts of Jesus and really wants to follow, they could take a beat and go down, lick it like the animals do, lick your wounds, whatever, and get up and let's keep fighting. If you get mad and go, you were supposed to go. You remember Gideon's army? Y'all remember Gideon's army? 32,000. He tested them all kind of ways and broke it down, ended up with 300. He broke his church, Pastor Gideon broke his church all the way down to 300 members, and them 300 members took the land. That's how you find it a lot of times. If they went home because they're careless, or they're cowards, or they're uncommitted, if that's the case, you need to go home. Listen, I had a couple people send messages. I do the membership care here. A couple people send messages talking about somebody felt some kind of way about, and they got upset because nobody called them or something. I love you. I'll call you. But in my mind, I'm like, if you don't know, what was you in service this morning? Did you hear the message? You couldn't have heard the message. Ain't no way you heard the message. Maybe somewhere else is better for you. You know, I bring the vanity in mind. Church, I bring vanity in mind. I don't need your numbers to validate my life and my ministry. When people do a lot of stuff and they want numbers in the church so they can validate that they're doing something, your validation does not come with the numbers in the church. Just because everybody then tweeted about you or put you on Instagram today and said that you did a good message, I don't need that. I really rather you not say nothing and just go sit in the car and think about it for a minute. That's good church to me. That's good ministry for me. So many churches, I do like that. When I do like that, I mean the church building and then many churches. Talking about us as the church, do a lot of different things to try to validate who they are, and so they become people pleasers. Jesus was never a people pleaser. Jesus was a need meter. Jesus always met the people need, but you can imagine that it wasn't like the people wanted to be. That's two times in the Bible I saw that Jesus spit on people for them to get a manifestation. On that man's tongue, remember that? Remember that? He spit on that man's tongue. He spit on that man's eyes. The one that said, I see men walking the trees. Then he came back and said, I can see clear. He also spit in the clay that time and put in that man's eye and told him, go wash. Remember that? Yeah, that wasn't, I'm sure the members of Word of Life Christian Center, if they were blind or not, if apostle came out with a bag of dirt and spit it and shook it up and said, I'm about to put this spit on your eyes. And this is how they're going to go. They ready to leave the church. Spitting on me. You know? Ain't spitting on me seem like a disgrace? You spit in my face. Don't that seem like a disgrace? Are they ready to leave? You ready to go? Bye. Listen, gone are the days. Gone are the days that we're here to just try to make you feel good about yourself. No. I need you to feel strong. I need you to understand who you are so that you can fight. If I don't ever tell you how to fight, never teach you how to fend for yourself. I saw a thing the other day, and this army guy following. He got a guy on there, and they're showing a picture of a guy doing pull-ups, and he was training. And he said, somewhere in the world right now, he's trying to tell him to train. He said, train, because somewhere in the world right now, somebody training to kill you. So he said, you better train harder. Can I tell y'all that? Can I tell y'all watching? Somewhere in the world right now, somebody training to kill you. His name is called Satan. He's the enemy. He know if he could take you out, he would. He can't, but if he could, he would. And so you have to be on top of your game. We're going to read in the scripture. I got to flip over there. We're going to read in the scripture tonight. Try to take Jesus out. Try to take him out. Try to take him out a couple times. He didn't really even know he was the one or not, but he was trying to take him out. And so we do all these different things to validate. But your validation does not come through your numbers or through your little cute little phrases or your cute little acronyms or what kind of suit you wear, all that stuff. Your validation does not come. And I'm not saying don't wear a nice suit. I'm not saying don't say a cute phrase. But your validation, I'm not saying don't have numbers. Numbers are fine. I'm not anti-numbers. What I'm trying to say is your validation does not come through those things. And so when you're walking in the vanity of your mind, you do whatever it takes to appease the vanity of your mind. So forget principle. I need to appease the vanity of my mind. And so now let's just talk about greediness and lasciviousness and start going after your own things. The scripture said that just now. That only happens because of the vanity, walking after the vanity of your own mind. You are just thinking about you. The anointing does not function when you just think about you. Prayer does not work when you're just praying for you. Tongues does not work when it's just only for you. Your validation, and we're gonna get that in a minute, but the validation of a ministry, the validation of a church, and the church is the functioning of its members. It's the validation. You find out if you are a good church or a great church by the functioning of your members. No. As a church, we're talking about the function of the members. The members of Word Life Christian Center, right? And I'm using our church, right? They're the functioning. If the members function right, then we're training right. The members do what they do and go out to all the world and do what they got to do. Then the church is being validated by the signs and the wonders. All right? But now look at this. Look at it. The church right here. The church, you, the church is validated by the functioning of its members. What are you using more and Joe to go do? Where are you walking to? What are you going towards? Are you using your hands to lay hands or to point fingers or give fingers? Or what are we using our members to do? Are we using our hands to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? This is before. Are we using our members? It's the functioning of our members. That's where your validation comes from. It is not in all these other things. You can get caught up. There's a church culture. Church has a culture. There's the Christian church culture. I ain't never heard Jesus call nobody a Christian. Christians came after that. All right. I always like to say that. Jesus said, go you all and be Christians. He didn't say that. All right. But I don't even get on that. I don't even try to change that because it's such a strong thing. And people want to kick you out of the church and then try to crucify you again. But he didn't say that. All right. He said, do the works. But every joint supply called to the effectual working. The effectual working. Doing the work. Edifying of itself in love, Matthew 22. And we're going to go over there, then we're going to flip a little further up to, and you kind of know where I'm going. Matthew 22, verse 34, and I like it. He said, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. So when the Pharisee Christian Center heard that he put Sadducee Christian Center to silence, you know, he'd already shut this church down. So now he come and talk to us. So when they heard this, he put them to silence. Then one of them, they said, well, we're gonna take over. And one of them, a lawyer, asked, tempting him, saying, Master, what the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, and Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Powerful, ain't it? But I think the one they had a problem with was the next one. It wasn't even the first one about loving God, because they thought they were loving God. They thought by doing all those laws and condemning people that they were loving God. I don't think the first one was the one that had the problem. The second one, this is the first and great commandment. And you notice he only said, what's the great commandment in the law? Commandment is singular, ain't it? Ain't no S after that, right? But look at verse 36. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But then Jesus goes on to say, took liberty to say this. Verse 39, and the second like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself on these two. So you wanted one, I gave you two. You wanted one and I give you two. You wanted one and I'm going to up you one. We're going to go to Matthew 5 in a minute. I'm going to show you how Jesus was upping them one. But you wanted one, I'm going to give you two. You thought it was this one and I'm going to give you another one. Jesus was powerful, man. I love that man, boy. Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So now love the Lord your God with everything you got. But the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Not your address neighbor, but your address neighbor. But not just your address neighbor, but your neighbor. Like whoever, you know, at a given time, like right now, you might not be my neighbor, but right now when I'm standing next to you, you're my neighbor. So even if I'm standing right next to you, you're my neighbor right now. If I pass by you or come in contact with you, I get closer, you're my neighbor now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you know, I can church, right? You're my neighbor now. So now you get close to me, now you're my neighbor. So love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, it didn't say love your neighbor if they look like you want them to look. It didn't say love your neighbor if they talking like you want them to talk. It didn't say love your neighbor if your neighbor love you back. It didn't say none of that. We can't be adding. The Bible said don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away. So he didn't say love your neighbor because you cool with them. No, he just said love your neighbor. How? As you love. Well, how do you love yourself? In the first verse, love your Lord God, that's how you love yourself. So love your neighbor just like you love that. On these two hangs all the law and the prophets. Now they ain't want to hear that, boy, because they were like, there ain't no law hanging the prophets, Moses, no. On this hang all the law and all your prophets. All of them. And Jesus said, me too. Love. So edifying of itself in love. Now the opposite of vanity is love. And we can use, people think, what's the opposite of love? Hate. Hate is not a real thing. Hate is like an absence of a thing. It's not a real thing. Like it's not a real force. There is no real force of hate. There's something that is hate generated. Hate is like a describing thing, but it's not a real force. Love is a force. Love, I don't even know if love has an opposite. Love can have an absence. I'm going to take that back. Love can have, there can be an absence of love which causes other things. But love don't really have an opposite, because that means God has an opposite force that's just as strong as him, that's negative. It don't exist. Right? It don't exist. There's nothing as powerful as God. So now there's an absence. So the absence of love can breed vanity. It breeds vanity. You're just thinking about you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. No, vanity says think about yourself. Oh, love your neighbor as you love yourself. No, vanity says think about yourself. Oh, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Vanity says it's just about yourself. So can we conclude vanity is loving, it's just about yourself. Vanity is about self. You, right? But he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So can we conclude that it's not just about that you can't love yourself? Because really the way you love yourself is by loving the Lord your God with all your heart. But it's not that you can't love yourself, but stopping at yourself. Anytime we stop at ourselves and we don't want to minister, we don't want to give, we don't want to function, we don't want to pass it out, minister, we don't want to pass it out, it becomes vanity. If you got the nerve to go to your church and get some revelation knowledge and get your hands laid on you, and then you don't want to take it and go lay hands on somebody else, and I, you know, you got to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you just go run and start doing it. No, lay hands on no man swiftly. The Bible talks about that. Lay hands on no man suddenly, all right? But if you don't want to just go and pass out what you got, right then it becomes vanity. I mean, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, right? I can't give you what I ain't got, right? How you going to love somebody else if you don't love yourself? You ever heard this statement before, right? So I get it. I get that. I understand, but it shouldn't just stop with you. You had to get saved before you can tell somebody else how to get saved. You had to be led in the prayer before you can lead somebody in the prayer, right, right, right? So I understand that, but if you get led in the prayer and you don't do any leading in the prayer, it's vanity of your mind. And surely as I know my name, quickly, greediness is going to come. All those other things are going to come. It's going to slip upon you. The Bible says a little folding of hands and a little slumber, so should our poverty come upon you. He's talking about beware of the Pharisees' leaven. That leaven, a little bit of leaven, a little bit of leaven, a little bit of leaven, and it mess up the whole loaf. A little bit of leaven, then it mess up the whole loaf. It's a little bit. It's a little bit of vanity. How much of I never thought about this. How much of Jesus, like how much of himself did he give? You ever thought about that? How much of himself did he give? How much, Jesus, how much of himself did he give? If he kept on preaching, never got crucified, and then just went on up with no beating, no dying, none of that, then we'll have a scapegoat. We ain't got nothing, though. Jesus has eliminated all excuses. He's eliminated all loopholes. He's eliminated. I wish people would understand and really study Jesus. Thank you, Father. I wish people really bowed down and understand. We all understood him and studied him more and paid more attention to how he did things and what he did. The Lord told me the other day, I was trying to get some things done, and we reached out to some young people. He said, how did it? I said, well, yes, sir. And he said, well, calm down and do it like I did it. I said, well, yes, sir. And he said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is not just a moment or a thing that's saying he's up there, some figurehead somewhere doing something. No, that means Jesus Christ, who he is, and everything is what he was, and every function that he made, him himself, who he was, who his own self. That I think this is he himself, who his own self. You know what I'm saying? His own self, like he, who he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then today, yesterday, and forever got to respond to him the same way. And if Jesus is on the inside of you, then you should be the same as him. And the same way that he functions should be the same way that we function. Yes, I understand we're not walking around with sandals. We're not wearing the long, the skirt looking thing like they used to wear in the old thing. I understand that we're not in the Middle East. We're in Louisiana. I get it. I understand. But Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. You could have added on. He's the same over there and over here and right here and over there and back there, up there, down there. He's the same everywhere. So if he's on the inside, is he on the inside or not? If he's on the inside, then you ought to be transfiguring. And when Jesus went on the mountain transfiguring in front of him, he did that for a reason. He's trying to show you that the same way I can transfigure, you can change. Your whole function should be changing so that you can be like him. And so now all of life gotta listen to you like it listened to him. Remember he cursed the fig tree. Remember he said, rise up and walk. Remember he said, be here. Remember he broke the bread. Remember he said, cast a hook, catch that fish that first coming up. Remember he said, launch out into the deep and cast your net. And then pull up. Remember all those things that he did. All those things. Turn the water. Bring me barrels of water. And then turn the wine. All those things that he did. Life has to listen to you the same way if we transfigure. If we turn to him. If we turn into him. How much did he give? How much did he give up? Now, Jesus had a doper ministry, and a doper, that's a better ministry, the way I talk to him, a better ministry than we had. Jesus' ministry was, I mean, way better than, name a ministry, you know, his ministry, multiply times a million, and then multiply that times a million, and then multiply that times another million, and that's how much better Jesus' ministry was than anything we see on it. Name your favorite preacher. Jesus' ministry was way better than all those, and he gave it all. Pastor and built a church, 30,000 members, got everybody working, everybody functioning. And he said, now I got to go. Because if I don't go, you don't have a, you can't be like me. If I don't go, you don't have access to the thing that's making me the way that you like me to be. Like the thing that you're seeing, that you're following me for, if I don't go, you won't have access to that Holy Ghost that's giving you the same access to do the same thing. You want to be able to talk to me and my Father are one. You know what I'm saying? Me and my Father, He is in me and I'm in Him. They wouldn't even be able to function with you if I don't go. So in the middle of the peak of ministry, it wasn't a downtime. It was like Jesus got old and then the miracles got a little dry. And then he went on to glory. No, he's a young man, 33 years old. In the peak of when his posters start turning up. And he gave it all. Not a piece of it. He ain't hold nothing back. Come on, he said he cut off his arm for Jesus gave his whole arm so that you can be saved. He didn't say that. He gave his entire and complete life. Us. What are we willing to give? So when we spit on the price that was paid when we allow ourselves to be vain in our minds. Not about being friendly. Right? Not about being friendly. I mean, we're all friendly people. We're all pretty fairly friendly. I know everybody. We're pretty fairly friendly people. It's not about being friendly. It's about being effective or being functional. The only way to be functional, to fully function, is to fully give it up. Those are the kind of conversations that make you nervous because it's like, well, I give it up. What you mean? And Lord starts singing us one night and said, all for all. We start singing praise words. All for all. You give me your all, I give you my all. All for all. And I got nervous and said, whoa, 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 whoa. And this is me. This is Reverend. The Reverend Doctor, right? Or whatever. Right. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Lord, my mind started. The vanity of my mind. It wasn't like way over there, but the vanity of my mind. Your mind started jumping up. Whoa, Jesus, whoa. If I give you all what I'm going to have. You know what happens, right? When it's anytime it's time to sow, your mind go there, don't it? Come on, tell the truth. Come on. If we be honest, it goes there. How much I'm going to have left. You know, when it's time to give time, how much time I'm going to have left. A lot of people be in church and they be trying to rush past them. Trying to figure out how much time they got left in their day to go do the things they want to do, right? How much I'm going to have. You didn't hear him. He said, you give your all. People don't be believing the Bible. They don't. They don't be believing. They quote it, but they don't be believing. They sow sparingly, reap sparingly. They don't be believing that. Because they be steady sowing sparingly. I'm not talking about just giving in church. I'm talking about sowing sparingly with their time, sowing sparingly with coming to church. They be steady sowing sparingly, but they want God to show up every time. You give me your all. Who has forsaken all and followed me? Remember the rich young ruler come and said, Lord, what I could do that I have eternal life? He said, did you obey the commandment? Yes, I followed him for my youth. He thought he was on to something. He said, okay, one thing thou lackest, go sell what thou have, not give away your money. Watch this. Listen to what he said. Go sell what you have. You can't sell money. So if you had money, you had money. You can't sell money though. So go sell what thou have and give to the poor. But he went away sad, for he had great possession. I know a love apostle said that he didn't have possessions. Possessions had him. Then Jesus started talking about how hardly is it that a man is going to leave everything for the ministry. How hardly? He says, is it harder than for a camel to enter the eye of a needle? Then he says, with men is it possible, not with God. With God, all things. But the disciples start getting nervous and say, well, Lord, we left all. And they thought of, yeah. And you receive everything. You receive 100-fold now in this time. I don't hear the junk about not having nothing right now. You're going to receive 100-fold now in this time and on the other side. Because you gave up your all, though. We used to be believing God and sowing seeds for the 100-fold return. Did you give 100-fold? Did you give not a $100 bill. Did you give 100%? If you didn't give 100%, why you want 100% folded? How you want 100-fold on a 30 gift? A level 30 giving. I'm just being honest. Now, there's life, too. The reason God uses the people that he decided to use, the way that he used them, because somewhere along the line, they decided to give up all. You want them to use you? Give it up. Now, your faith may not be there yet, so don't go quit nothing tomorrow. Don't go jump out tomorrow. I'm gonna jump in that water tomorrow, but you better be looking in that direction, because it's gonna be a direction where one day he's gonna ask you to give up all. I don't even know what that's gonna mean. I don't even know what that's gonna mean for you, but you should be prepared. You remember Abraham? Abraham said, how can it be, seeing that I have not an heir? You told me I'm going to do all these things and be the father of a nation, and I'm going to have all these things. But they understood covenant. I cannot do it unless I got something to carry it on. So how am I going to do that unless I have an heir? So here we go. Now we go through the whole story. He said, I'm going to give you an heir. Sarah laughed because he said it wasn't going to happen. So then they send a woman in. Now you got Ishmael. You got Ishmael, right? Ishmael, we still got effects of Ishmael in the world right now. All right? Ishmael, all right? But God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Here go Isaac. We got Isaac. Isaac then grew up some. We got attached to Isaac and then raised him from a baby. God gave me my heir. He came through. He told me what he's going to do. So I'm about to train this boy up in the ways of God. And then God said, go take him up. Go take him up there and sacrifice that boy to me. Go take him up there and sacrifice that boy to me. Go up there and give him up. That was his all. Because at that time, if you don't have an heir, you don't have anything. If everything dies with you, then it really wasn't nothing to begin with. So now your heir is your everything. Take that boy up there and kill him. Take that boy up there and sacrifice to me what I gave you. I gave it to you, so sacrifice it to me. Abraham, being the man of faith that he was, I can't say he might not have questioned it while he was walking up, but he walked. I'll be telling people about Peter. Peter, he started drowning. Look at him. He started sinking. Well, Peter did walk, though. You know, you go read it, they didn't say how far he walked. Peter might have walked halfway there, boy. Peter might have ran on that water a little bit and you ain't even know it, right? But Abraham took off walking on that water. Isaac said, Lord, I know what you used to come up here for. We used to come up here to make a sacrifice, but now you ain't got no animal with you. What's going on? The Lord going to supply a ram. He's going to supply a lamb for the he's going to supply. And he wrapped him up. He went to the edge. He wrapped him up, put him on the altar, to pull up the knife to kill him. And the angel of the Lord. Now, I thank God that Abraham wasn't an angry man. Thank God that Abraham wasn't angry in the vanity of his own mind. Because if he was, maybe he would not have heard the voice of the angel to tell him to stop before it's time to kill. But truth of the matter is, and I ain't got time to go to Matthew 5. We'll go to the next class. So I got to remind myself to go to the next class. But truth of the matter is, you just got to give it up. The church got to give it up. That validates ministry. That's church unusual. That's when things unusual start to happen. If you're not willing to give it up and give up your moments and your feelings and your time and your things that you think is about, if you're not willing to give that up, then you're not willing to receive up or to function up. Like you're not ready for that. Until you give it up, you can't function up. You get it? I can tell you, until you give it all, you're not going to function in all the power. How do I get past the vanity of my mind? How do I get past the vanity of my mind? You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in your mind. So that means you have to take this word. What we studied tonight, what we looked at, this can't be the last time you look at it. You got to go over it and you have to condition yourself. You have to condition yourself and renew your mind. We've been taught, I'm going to say this and I got to go. We've been taught overall in the church. I'm not saying specifically in my church or your church, but overall in the church as a whole, we've been taught a very selfish gospel. And we thought we'd confess it and believe it for us. But when the last time you confess it and believe it for another? Good question, ain't it?